When I was a bit younger, there was a Christmas pop song which went, "I wish it could be Christmas every day." And if you remember that one, "I wish it could be Christmas every day." And you think, really? Would you want that? Christmas every day. Our sort of knee-jerk reaction might be, well, yeah, you know, bring it on. No work, no school, prezzies every morning. But then you think about it for a moment, you think, well, life could get a bit dull with nothing to do, and presents every day would sort of drain the bank account, clutter up the house with all these unwanted gifts. Turkey and Brussels sprouts, that could get old pretty quickly. And I tell you, I've had it with mince pies. I've had so many mince pies this year, I can't even look at another one. So no, I don't think Christmas every day is a good idea, personally. You know, once a year, that's plenty. But we need the Christmas message every day, not just once a year. So the good news at the heart of Christmas, the Christmas gifts from Jesus, which we find at the end of this passage here on the sheet, the end of Luke chapter 1, we definitely need some of that every day. And God has actually given us a daily reminder of this Christmas good news. What happens every day without fail? Happened this morning. It's going to happen tomorrow morning. Answer: the sun rises and night gives way to day as a new day dawns. Well, the sunrise is a daily reminder from God about Jesus. Because in this passage here in verse 78, you'll see that Jesus is called the sunrise, where it says, "Whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high." It's talking about Jesus. He's the sunrise. So his coming, which we celebrate at Christmas, is like the sun rising and a new day dawning. And these verses tell us about some of the good things that the Jesus sunrise brings. So in this passage, this guy called Zechariah, he's prophesying about his son. His son is John the Baptist. And John the Baptist's job was to prepare the way for Jesus. And we get a description here of the kind of blessings that Jesus would bring. And given it's saying Jesus is the sunrise, we could picture these blessings as the sunbeams, the rays of the sun. And there are five of them, as you'll see on the outline here. So number one there, salvation. That's the first warm ray coming from the Jesus sunrise, salvation. So if you look at verse 77, John the Baptist, it said, would give knowledge of salvation to God's people. That's what he would bring. That's what Jesus would bring, salvation. What kind of story would you say the Bible is? What kind of story is it? It's a big book. Begins in Genesis with this account of God creating the world, wonderful world. Then the first people rebel. God's judgment falls. That gets us as far as Genesis chapter 3. So the first four pages of the Bible set up the problem. And then the rest of the Bible, the other 1,248 pages, are about the solution. So what God does to solve the problem. And what he does is he provides salvation. He provides rescue through Jesus. So the Bible is a rescue story. Many fictional films are rescue stories, aren't they? You know, rescue from a great white shark terrorizing the beaches. Rescue from aliens invading the planet. Rescue from some gang who've kidnapped a loved one. But it's not just in fiction. History as well is full of amazing rescue stories. The 1970 Apollo rescue mission, the 2010 Chilean mine rescue, the 2018 Thai cave rescue. But the greatest rescue story ever told is God's rescue of us in Jesus. This true story of how the Son of God was sent into the world on the ultimate rescue mission. Born as a human, lived the perfect life, died for our sins, was raised from death to rule forever. And he did all of this to save ordinary people like you and me from the judgment we deserve. So the Bible is not a book of rules. It's a book of rescue. Now, there are rules for those who have been rescued. It's not as if we can just then sort of live as we see fit. But it's about rescue first and foremost. It's a rescue story. And that is something that sets Christianity apart from the world religions. That the world religions tend to be about rules. If you do a good job of keeping the rules, you get to paradise. That kind of thing. It's a bit like, you know, applying for a university place or whatever. You get a conditional offer. You need to achieve certain grades. Get high enough grades and you're rewarded with this place on the heavenly campus. That kind of idea. But the Christmas good news is completely different. It's about rescue, not about rules. The Jesus sunrise brings salvation. But how? Well, the second sunbeam tells us forgiveness. So verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. So we are saved, we are rescued through being forgiven. That is, forgiven by God. That's how God saves us from the judgment, the just judgment that we deserve. He provides a way for us to be forgiven for all the wrong we've done, which has cut us off from him. So if we think, well, you know, what's the best gift you could possibly imagine getting at Christmas? Well, surely forgiveness from God is unbeatable. It feels terrible, doesn't it, when a relationship breaks down because you've wronged somebody. Maybe you've said something unkind to someone, or you've done something unkind to them, and now things are frosty between you. And they keep you at arm's length, or they blank you, and there's tension in the relationship. We all know what that is like and how horrible that is. And we know what a relief it is when you deal with it. When you say, look, I did wrong, I'm really sorry. And they say those magic words, I forgive you. I forgive you. And you're reconciled. And it's this massive weight off your shoulders. Well, how much more so when God says to us, those magic words, I forgive you. But with God, it takes a lot more than us just saying sorry. It takes a lot more than that. Because the Bible says God is holy, he is just, our wrongdoing must be punished. The other day, I got a letter from the Met Police, and it wasn't a Christmas card, but it was a lovely photograph of me at the wheel doing 25 miles per hour in a 20 zone. I was about a minute from home. I was in some courtesy car. Couldn't believe it. Now, it may not be the greatest crime in history, but there is a penalty to be paid. And I'm not going to get let off just because I say, I'm sorry. And there is absolutely no point in me saying, look, come on, it's not as if I've driven my car into a crowd of people at a German Christmas market and killed five, as that guy did tragically the other day. I've done wrong, and there's a penalty. And that guy has done wrong, and he will get a penalty that will fit his crime. And neither of us will get away with saying, just saying, I'm sorry. Yet justice demands punishment. And it's the same with us and God. And that leaves a dilemma, doesn't it? Because how can God forgive us our sins and at the same time be just? That's the dilemma. And the answer is that by taking the punishment for our sins on himself in the death of the Son of God, that way we can be justly forgiven. Now, all of this is because of God's mercy, which is the third sunbeam in the Jesus sunrise. If you look at verse 78, it says, the forgiveness of sins because of the tender mercy of our God. Mercy means that God doesn't give us what we deserve. That's what mercy is. He doesn't give us what we deserve, the judgment we deserve. He doesn't give us that. And the tender mercy, emphasizes God's compassion. So this Christmas sunrise in Jesus is purely because of God's compassionate mercy. It's totally undeserved. We live, don't we, in an age in which people talk a lot about their rights. Give me my rights. You know, I've got my rights and I deserve this. I deserve that. And it's certainly true, isn't it, that all of us have equal right or should have equal rights to certain basic things like respect and education and healthcare and freedom and so on. But we need to be careful here. Before God, we have done wrong. The Bible says we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. We deserve judgment. And so the last thing we want to say to God is, give me what I deserve. Because if he does, we're in big trouble. Instead, we should say to God, please don't give me what I deserve. Rather, be merciful to me. And this is what the Jesus sunrise brings. Mercy from God. It's all about mercy. So if you take away this Luke's gospel on your chairs and have a read of chapter 1, 1 verse 50 says, his mercy is for those who fear him. 1 verse 54, in remembrance of his mercy. Verse 72, to show the mercy promised to our fathers. It's mercy from first to last. And when you get later on in Luke's account in chapter 18, Jesus tells this story about two guys who go up to the temple to pray. And there's one guy who boasts to God about the things he's done, the good things he's done. And his attitude to God is basically, give me what I deserve. And God did. And he was rejected. And the other man simply said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Essentially, please don't give me what I deserve. And God didn't. He welcomed him. After a carol service in one of the Wharf companies, I was chatting to someone who was a guest there, and they said that I go to church every week. Oh, fine. So we got chatting about it, and then in the course of the conversation, I asked him whether he thought he was going to heaven. And he said, yes. I said, well, on what basis? And he said, well, because I've done good. I've lived a good life. And it is such a common delusion. But the Christmas good news is not that we are good enough, but that God is merciful. And that is only good news if we accept the gift. The fourth sunbeam and the Christmas sunrise is light. So verse 77, the tender mercy of God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Spiritually, our natural state is that we are in the darkness. The Bible says we're enslaved to sin. We're heading for death. We're destined for judgment. And death casts its dark shadow over us, even in the midst of our lives. But the Old Testament prophets foretold that one day, it said the light would come. And we had in our first reading one example. It said in Isaiah 9, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Well, Jesus is that light. He is that sunrise. And with his first coming, the new day dawned, and when he returns, we will bask in glorious sunshine. After the fall of the Assad regime in Syria, there were all these reports, weren't there, which started coming out about the horrific conditions in that infamous prison, the Sednaya prison. And when the prisoners were liberated, they ran out of the dark captivity they'd been in. And they ran into the light. And there was one man who just kept running until he got to his hometown. And his tearful family embraced him. And he said this, he said, It's like I'm born again. I can't describe it to you. And that is an image Jesus himself, of course, used of what it's like being delivered from spiritual darkness and brought into his glorious light, being born again to new life. People speak, don't they, about enlightenment. They talk about, you know, enlightenment through meditation, enlightenment through science and so on. But the ultimate enlightenment we need is through Jesus, the light of the world. And if we follow him, he promises that we will never walk in darkness. Not in this life, not in the life to come. And lastly, his light will guide us into the way of peace. That's the fifth wonderful blessing that the Jesus sunrise brings, peace. Verse 79, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Someone posted this online on Reddit. They wrote this. They said, if anyone could shed some light on what this feeling might be, perhaps from your own experiences, I'd be really grateful. In short, he wrote, I have a generally good life now, a job I love, friends, my own apartment, and a great partner. However, I feel like I can't find comfort or peace in anything anymore. Not the books I used to love, not the places or settings, nor the movies or songs. I feel like there's an anxiety, a darkness or emptiness in me that can't be filled by anything I do. I just want to feel like me again, but for years now, I can't seem to find a place to rest my soul. I hope this makes sense to someone. I really do appreciate any thoughts or advice. And there were various replies. One person said, well, I felt drained and dissatisfied for a while now. I used to have interest. I used to feel motivated. I can't seem to find that mojo anymore because my head just says, what's the point? I don't have answers for you, my friend, but I feel your struggle. And another person said, I feel the same. I can't tell if it's the world we live in now or getting to a certain age. And through experience, seeing the world as it's always been, gardening helps me. You think, well, gardening's good. Gardening's great. But is there more? And the good news is saying, well, there is. The Jesus sunrise promises to guide our feet into the way of peace. Deep inner peace. Our souls at rest, as these people were searching for. How is that possible? Well, through being at peace with God, reconciled to him through Jesus. So the peace within, it flows from peace with God. So once our sins are forgiven through Jesus, and once we've received his mercy, we have peace with God, and we have peace within. And so on this Christmas Eve, we give thanks for the Jesus sunrise and these five sunbeams shining out from it. Salvation, forgiveness, mercy, light, and peace. What a wonderful day has dawned. Now, it's easy, isn't it, to take things for granted in life. Sunrise, for example. I mean, the sun comes up every day. We're so used to it, we don't give it a second thought. But imagine if the sun didn't come up. There's a place in northern Norway called Svalbard. People live there. And if you went there right now, you would arrive in a place that is completely dark all the time. From mid-November to the end of January, for almost 3 months, the sun never comes up. It's pitch black constantly. I wonder how they feel when they experience their first sunrise again after months of darkness. How wonderful that must be. Well, that kind of polar night is our natural state spiritually, that we live in darkness, not just for months, but for years. And the whole human race was living in this state for centuries. But in the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi foretold the following. He said, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. And it has. That is what we are celebrating at Christmas, that the sun has risen. And we're going to sing it in our final carol in Hark the Herald. We have this line. It says, hail, hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in its wings. It's a quote from Malachi, risen with healing in its wings. Wings refers to the rays of the sun. But there is one caveat here. The carol says, light and life to all he brings, but we should add, to all he brings who receive him. And that is where the sun, S-U-N, and the sun, S-O-N, are different. So the morning sunrise brings light to all, whether they accept it or not. But the Jesus sunrise brings light only to those who receive him, those who follow him, those who put their trust in him. Now, if we have done that, we should be full of thanks to God this evening that in Jesus the sun has risen. Let's not take it for granted. And if we haven't yet received him, what better time of year to do it than now at Christmas when we're celebrating that the sun has risen with healing in its wings. Let's pause for a moment and then I'm going to lead us in a prayer.